I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Welcome to Prattle World. I'm your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan, and in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And we're back for day three at the Forbidden Worlds Film Festival 2023, and this is for my patrons only. Hello, patrons. I know it's been a little while again since I brought you some stuff, but here's a double dose. You're going to get day three and day four of the Forbidden Worlds Film Festival, and what I thought of the whole thing. It's all still very positive, don't worry. It's all great, good stuff. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it. I'm going to record these both separately, but it's going to be the same thing, effectively. Me talking a little bit about the films and what I've seen and what I've experienced. But yeah, so Saturday was the third day. I'm recording this on the 4th. The third day was a collection, a wildly different and varied selection of films. So it was Return to Oz, which I decided to miss, which part of me regrets because there were some special introductions by Brian Henson and another one of the lead animators, especially on the Troll King, I believe. The Gnome King, that's the character's name. But I imagine it would have looked pretty good on the old IMAX anyway. But I wanted to get out another podcast. I was very tired after the first couple of days, so I just really just needed to fucking sleep. So I made that sacrifice. But don't worry, the rest of the day was fantastic. Again, I can talk about Return to Oz. I've talked about it a little bit back in my top five jack-o'-lantern characters. But yeah, I like it. It's decidedly dark. It's a bit weird. It's full of imagination, very odd, weird, dark characters. It's almost like post-apocalyptic World of Oz, which I, you know me, that's right up my fucking alley for films and stuff like that. I love that shit. So I'm all about it. I'm all bloody about that stuff. So yeah, I think it's great. I think Feroza Balk's great. I think she does carry the film because the rest of the characters are pretty much, you know, animated or puppets or animatronics or the witch as well. I think it's Mombi or Mumba or Princess Mumby, whatever her name is. She's great as well. I like the whole insane asylum thing. Really dark and disturbing, but I love it. But again, this tells you it's a very different film from the original. But the original has its dark elements, like the Scarecrow, like, packing heat. He's got a gun in one scene. He doesn't use it, but he does have a gun for some reason. It gets pretty dangerous up in Oz. But yeah, you don't see that in any of the other adaptations. But there you are. There you have it. Anyway, I love it. I think it's really good. It's part of that dark Disney era. They were taking risks and chances. And again, it falls right into those kind of never-ending story, Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, that kind of sort of Jim Henson-y, kind of dark, disturbing, yet wonderfully imaginative and creative. You know, prior to like the Tim Burton-esque emo goth, you know, version of kind of that. But yeah, I really like the film. I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, some like genuine peril in it. And yeah, fantastic. I love it. It's one of my favorites, and it's grown on me over the years and rewatching it the other year. It's still quite fresh in my memory, so that's why I didn't go to watch it. But it's wonderful, and I'm sure people enjoyed that on the huge IMAX screen. So I did miss Return to Oz. Again, great film. Highly recommend it. Go watch it if you haven't. It's on Disney Plus, so what's the problem? Go and watch it. If you think your kids can deal with that, and if they're ready for that, then I think a mature child could probably deal with it. I think the Wheelers are scary and the Headless Princess and, you know, all sorts of stuff that I think a mature child or a sensible child will know, you know. And even if they do get upset, it's not the worst thing in the world. Kids cry. You know, it's good to scare kids. It's good for kids to have emotional reactions to things. Shows they're not fucking dead inside or a bloody psychopath or something. So yeah, just let kids experience emotions in their purest form, even the negative ones. It's all good. It's a good thing. And then with the negative comes the positive. It's inside out. It's in the message. You know, just do it. Anyway, so probably my favorite point of the day had to be the next film, which was 1933's King Kong. Now, this was, I decided to sit really close up. This is an IMAX screen, so it's, I don't know how many feet, 60 feet maybe, I don't know how big it is, but it's a massive old screen. Yeah, it's probably more than 60 feet. It's probably more like 70 or 80. I don't know. I don't know measurements. Don't ask me to do maths, guys. I'm not good at that. Let's just say it's fucking big. It's big. All right? It's big. Google the Bristol Aquarium. I'm sure it'll tell you how fucking big it is. Anyway, I decided to sit nice and close because I've never seen this film before. I've seen versions of Kong. I've seen, I think I saw the 70s one, the Dino De Laurentiis one, the Skull Island one, the Peter Jackson one. So I'm familiar with Kong, but I just never, it was one of those films you think you've seen, but you haven't. And as soon as it started, I was like, I definitely haven't seen this. I might have started watching it, but I don't think I ever finished it. I don't think I could get through the acting at the start. I was like, hey, I need a girl. We've got to get a girl to get on this island. See, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. Blah, blah, blah. I need to make some money. See, I'm not telling you where we're going. I got a secret map. The secret map is going to take us where we're going. I'm going to make a picture, a movie picture. It's going to be the best, greatest picture ever. But all these movie picture reviewers, they want a lady. They want a love interest. And I'm going to give him one. So he picks a woman off the street. Okay, so it's its 90th anniversary. So obviously, some of the things are a bit dated about it. Maybe the attitudes towards women, especially. I did expect a bit more negativity from racial stereotypes. I mean, there is that. But again, it's 90 years old, so you've got to give it a little bit of a break. But special effects-wise, it holds up. Like, I think the way they mask, they're doing two or three or four different special effects things at the same time. Groundbreaking, really, completely ahead of its time. The work of Willis O'Brien, of the creation of the Kong and the other creatures, the other dinosaurs. Incredible, incredible. And it still works, you know. I was kind of blown away. I really enjoyed it. I got into it. I remembered a lot from the Peter Jackson version. A lot of it was came flooding back to me from when I saw that years ago. But yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. It was great. It carries on once they get on the island. Once Kong is seen, it's off to the races and it's brilliant. Really, really good. We've got enough story to keep us going. The characters are interesting enough. The acting is interesting enough. You know, again, it's if you show it to like a 10-year-old, they're probably going to be, what the fuck is this shit? But I think for someone who's interested in kind of the work of Ray Harryhausen, the stop motion animation and the where and wherefores and where it's come from and how we got there is incredible. And in fact, the film was introduced to us by the Ray Harryhausen Foundation, who basically collect and maintain and promote Ray's legacy, including Vanessa Harryhausen was there as well today giving the talk. Well, is going to be there again today when I go see The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, which I'll talk about tomorrow. But she was there with another gentleman who works at the foundation, and absolutely brilliant. They gave us a talk on Willis O'Brien and his influence on Ray and the film's influence on Ray and how it got him started, and his whole kind of the beginning of Ray Harryhausen's career was inspired, you know, not only Ray Harryhausen, but Peter Jackson and various other kind of filmmakers over the years. You know, it was fantastic to see that kind of see the legacy and his early work and, you know, what his parents did for him. Really, really interesting. So I I'd like, or, you know, subscribe, whatever that, whatever page or social media they have, I would get on that, because the Ray Harryhausen Foundation is doing some really good stuff. And I, again, I can't wait to see the Seventh Voyage of Sinbad this morning. I'm about to go, basically. I just need to finish recording this, and I'm going to go head over. But yeah, brilliant, brilliant bit of just wonderful work. And it's classic. You can't beat it. And again, it's one of the most memorable films ever made. It's one of the most popular films ever made. One of the most iconic film characters brought to life. This is, you know, this was never done before, really. You know, there was some stop motion, very basic stop motion in some other films, but not to this level and this degree, and intersplicing it with other stuff. And the way they turn the human figures from these bendy armed kind of claymation figures, and they mask them turning into the real actors on screen. It's brilliant. I was blown away. I was like, the technique here and the subtlety and the expression that they got out of Kong and some of the other creatures as well, and the battle with the T-Rex, it's iconic, really. And I love the scene where all the men are on the log and he's Kong shaking them all off. And again, the mix of matte painting, live action, stop motion all together at once is incredible. And it hasn't aged that as poorly as you may think in that regard. Like, if you're there, I mean, that's what you're there for. You're there for Kong, aren't you? You're not there for the kind of romance, really, or the, you know, all this other stuff going on, the Carl Denham stuff. You're here for the effects. So I think, again, you've got to cut it a bit of slack. It's almost 100 years old, so it's not going to be, you know, the most forward thinking of films. But yeah, I mean, you've got to appreciate that. But if you appreciate it for purely just groundbreaking special effects and the kind of, you know, some of it may look a bit hokey now or a bit dated, but so will a lot of the CGI that has come from the early 2000s. That didn't look good at the time, still doesn't look good now, isn't going to age very well at all, but this has. And this, because it's real, you know, someone put a lot of time and effort and hours of their life into it. So it was amazing to be there on the 90th anniversary, to have it introduced by Harryhausen Foundation. But not only that, it was introduced by Peter Jackson himself. Amazing. He was just talking about his love for the film, how lucky we are to see it in a cinema on an IMAX screen. And he was right. He's absolutely right. We were very lucky, very blessed. And the fact it was my first time seeing it made it special. It's one of my core memories now. Speaking of Inside Out, it's a core memory for me. It's unforgettable what the Forbidden World's Festival has done. Again, this is only for you guys, so it's not like I'm singing their praises. This is praise they might not ever hear unless they want to hear some of it. And maybe I will release it at some point. But it's amazing. I'll never forget it. It's a really unique opportunity to see that. But carrying on, we had some other films as well. But that was definitely very important. Bit of the day for me, really. Just all of that all together just comes together wonderfully. Next up was Michelle Yeoh's, Maggie Cheung's Heroic Trio, which is kind of it's like a martial arts, it's like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon meets superheroes, I guess. It's about a group of women who are all superpowered or, you know, costume crime fighters. One of them can turn invisible. One of them is kind of a Punisher type, as is proficient with firearms and explosives. And then there's a woman who is very handy with kind of ninja stars and a blade as well. So it's the plot is a bit, it's not as good as Royal Warriors, I'll say that. It's not quite as cool or as good, as well shot, as well choreographed. It's a bit airy-fairy. The plot is I got a little bit confused by the plot quite a bit, because it moves on at a pace, but it doesn't really establish a lot of the characters. It just assumes that, oh, this character is called Wonder Woman. Okay. okay, right, okay, no relation to the DC character, and this is called the Invisible Woman. No relation to the Marvel character, and this is the Thief Catcher. Okay, clearly Marvel didn't ever hear about this film, or they may have sued, or DC even. So yeah, so it's basically about an ancient evil guy who is kind of a Mandarin type, you know, like the villain in Shang-Chi. He's stealing babies. So he's stealing babies, and they are, one of them will be the Prince of China, the King of China. Like, they've got a royal destiny or something. Yeah, it's not the strongest of plots, but there's these three women. One of them is working for this evil warlord or magician, demon, whatever you want to call him. And then these other women are connected. So Wonder Woman turns out to be the sister of Michelle Yeoh's character, the Invisible Woman, who is working directly for this evil magician person, warlord, whatever you want to call him. Let's just call him the Mandarin. He's the Mandarin. And then the Thief Catcher has some connection to Michelle Yeoh, and I thought she was going to be her sister, because there's a few flashbacks of a sister leaving. They're like, if you drop and you die and you fall, you're never coming back. And then she leaves. And yeah, so I wasn't quite sure what was going on, what was happening. And it has a surprising lot of child murder. Like, there's a bit where the Thief Catcher, she's hired to get the mayor's or the police commissioner's baby back, and she kidnaps another baby to lure him out, or the perpetrator's out, which doesn't make much sense, which leads Wonder Woman, who's the kind of main protagonist, sort of, in this film, to go and fight her. And then between the two of them, they end up fucking really badly injuring this baby. It's like falls on a rusty nail. It's pretty fucking intense for this kind of heroic, superheroic movie. And then the baby fucking dies. Like, they get the baby to the hospital and the baby fucking dies. I was like, what? Okay, that's quite a lot for this kind of superhero movie. And then there's no kind of repercussions for that. They don't really redeem. I guess they kind of redeem themselves by the end of the movie. They save all 20 other babies or something. But yeah, it's a surprising amount. But then there's also, they find these cannibal children who the Thief Catcher's like, well, they're not being. You know, there's no way to bring them back. They're now broken, so I have to kill them. It throws dynamite at these cannibal kids, and then all of a sudden they started like wetting themselves as they die, like voiding their bowels or something. Just very fucking odd, like really weird. Not weird in a good way, like weird in a kind of creepy, weird, odd way. I don't know. It's not for me, that one. I'll be honest. That one was just not for me. It was just a mixed bag. I think the martial arts is fantastic. I think some of the action sequences, some of the humor works. I think Thief Catcher's quite funny. There's Anthony Wong, who's in Hard Boiled, which I covered recently with Dennis. He plays a really good villain. He's just kind of this weird cannibal guy. Like, he'll have his fingers cut off, he'll eat his own fingers, he'll bite people. He'll bite birds, he'll eat birds and stuff. And he has a flying guillotine as well, which is ace. One of my favorite weapons is just this flying guillotine. It looks great. And there's also a really weird bit as well where the invisible girl is kidnapping these two babies, drops one, and then gets away with the other. And the one that gets dropped, they think it's the commissioner's son, but it's another mother's baby, because they go, oh, this is my baby. And then the commissioner shoves his hand up the baby's like cloth or whatever it's covered in, and is like, oh, it's not a boy. So it's like groping this fucking baby, like, to find out what sex it is, or to know, like, shouldn't the mother just know? Like, you and the mother should know what your fucking baby looks like, really. You don't need to start jamming your fingers up baby's fucking skirts and stuff. Very, very weird. But yeah, there you have it. It's one of those, probably one of those cultural differences. But again, it's not bad. I think the story is really weak and all over the show. It all feels very rushed as well. It all just feels like everything's just happening all at once. It's not there's no kind of gradual, like all the superheroes are established, they've all got their powers, but then we don't really learn much about them. They're kind of just off to the races, but there's not there's vagueness, but not in a good way. So yeah, it wasn't my favorite, this one, I'll be honest. If you want to see some good martial arts, if you want to see some superhero action, then I'd go for it. Just bear in mind there's a lot of weird shit in it, and you know me, I love my weird shit, but this is kind of like on the more negative side of weird shit for me. So yeah, not my weird to shit ratio. I think it's more shit. And again, even Michelle Yeoh doesn't seem that invested in the story or bothered. It's kind of just, I don't think she's that interested in what she's doing. Again, all the leads I think are good. But I think it's the story and the premise. I don't think it's particularly a bad premise, but again, it's like, I don't know, it's weird. It reminded me of Hardboiled a lot, because again, there's a lot of babies in peril then, and they want to poison them, but they think they want to poison the babies, and all this sort of stuff is their plot. So it's all about, and then there's a random guy who just decides, oh, I've lost my baby, so I'm going to kill all the other babies. And yeah, very weird. Very, very weird film. Again, I'm glad that they selected it, something different, and I'd never seen it before. I think some people got more out of it than I did, which is fine, you know. But yeah, not particularly my favourite of the whole weekend. But yeah, it's interesting enough, and it's... You know, I do, again, I like the martial arts. Again, you're going to tune in for the martial arts and the superhero fights, and they are good. The staging is good, the backgrounds, the sets, you know, the costuming, all really, really good. It's just the story, unfortunately, is just bleh. It's just, it doesn't really, none of it really ever comes together. I'll be honest, story-wise, you know, you're never really going, oh, I'm really worried about this. Like Royal Warriors is amazing, like genuinely amazing. Good characters, good acting, good writing, you know, simple premise, amazing martial arts, chases, you know, car chases, gunfights. Go watch that. Maybe if you're feeling open to it, maybe check out Heroic Trio as well. I do think it's more of anti-heroic trio, because again, most of them are somewhat villainous. I don't think really any of them arguably that heroic, but anti-heroic trio, that's what I'm going to call them. Anyway, last one before I finish. Oh no, that was two. Sorry, it's two more. What am I on about? That's just two. I'm not even halfway through. So yes, next up is Cliffhanger. Rennie Harlin, Sly Stallone, Michael Rooker, John Lithgow, all the other people. It's been a while since I've seen it, but fucking hell, it's good. It's a good action film, and I think it looked great. These big mountain vistas on the IMAX screen look really, really cool as well. Massive, huge, you know. Again, you feel like you're in the helicopter shooting the thing. And guess what? Rennie Harlin introduced it as well, which was amazing. I'm a big fan of Rennie Harlin and his work. You know, Die Hard 2, The Long Kiss Goodnight, which I've covered on here with my friend Matt. And yeah, just he's brilliant. And he introduced, his intro was... I think he might have stole the entire festival over Peter Jackson, over James Cameron, because he was hilarious. He was making jokes. He's filming outside of a set he's currently filming on in Italy. He's doing a new action film. I think he said it was with Aaron Eckhart. Go on the YouTube channel and you can watch all of his whole... It was more like a mini seminar than an introduction, because he just kept going on and on and on. He's filming on his phone. But he's definitely my spirit animal, because he wanted to try and make some concise points, not ramble. But he ended up rambling, just like me, prattling on. But yeah, and everyone was just chuckling. He was like, oh, and another thing. Oh, and another thing. Oh, and another thing. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you this story. Let me tell you this story. Such a passionate guy. He loves the film he made. You know, he said it was difficult to make, but it was fun. He liked working on it. It's one of his favorites. Again, it's the 30th anniversary of that. They had the choice between that and Demolition Man, so they went with Cliffhanger, because I think it just looks better on the IMAX screen. But yeah, a brilliant film. I can't really say much about Cliffhanger that probably hasn't already been said. Great villains, great dialogue, some proper good one-liners, great story, character development, what an opening as well. And But yeah, Rennie Harlin, just hilarious, brilliant. Just like we were laughing, like the whole audience was almost in tears because he was so funny, just the way he was. And there's definitely not nearly as many European filmmakers, like fun, you know, passionate, kind of crazy European filmmakers like you get anymore. You don't get people like Rennie Harlin or Paul Verhoevens anymore. I really miss that. I really miss those kind of over-the-top crazy, like European kind of film directors. You know, they all seem a bit too safe for me now, or a bit too, like, you know, not willing to take risks and stuff. So, but yeah, brilliant intro. Like, got us, everyone was well warmed up. There's some kids behind me and they said, and I got talking to them and their parents, and we were having a bit of a chuckle before it, and they were like, do you know anything about Cliffhanger? And I went, oh, well, and I said to the kids, I was like, it's a musical, you know. And they were like, what? And I was like, no, it's fine. But they said they really like Mad Max, the original, and Fury Road. And they came out and they absolutely loved it. And they must have only been like maybe 7 or 8, 9 or 10, something like that. And they absolutely loved it. And they thought it was brilliant. They said it was good for the 90s, which I think is a pretty good compliment, to be honest. You know, and the 90s might not feel that old for us, but yeah, it was a genius bit of filmmaking. If Rennie Harlin, a 30-year-old film, can grab, you know, the TikTok generation, or whatever you want to call them, Generation Z or Z, whatever, if you can grab those and hold their attention, you're doing something right. You're doing something right. And the story, everything works about it. Again, loads of people have talked about it. I won't say any more about it, but really, really had a good time. It was almost packed, that one as well, that particular screening. You will notice that some of the more popular films will be more packed than others. But the following film was very interesting. It was called Amsterdammed, and it's a film by Dick Maas, who did Sint and various other kind of... He also did Der Lift, the horror movie about a lift, which there's quite a few of those, I think, actually, thinking about it. Anyway, it's basically a slasher, stunt, action, police procedural thing, Euro slasher. It's very odd. It's got like giallo vibes, yet it's kind of, it's very odd. It's basically about a diver who's coming out of the canals of Holland, canals of Amsterdam, and stabbing people and killing them. And the race is on to stop this from happening, because he's doing it on a daily basis. Like, he's doing it, he's managed to get at least a kill a day in. And some great scenes with him underwater. There's an amazing... I don't know how they got the permits to do this kind of boat chase through the canals of Amsterdam, but it looks amazing. Big explosions, a lot of humor, like loads of humor to it. So it's very tongue-in-cheek, while still having that kind of, you know, deadly killer vibe going on. And I think the actual scuba gear he wears is almost like a gimp suit almost. It's got like this little hole for a mouth and stuff. But yeah, I think it's not bad. It's not. I wouldn't say it's an out-and-out slasher, but it's got enough of those elements where you kind of enjoy it. There's a kind of a whodunit to it, and there's a few kind of red herrings in there as well. But yeah, I thought it was fun. You know, it's not. Is it gonna win lots of awards or anything? But no, it's entertaining. I think the female lead's very attractive, and I think there's a lot to be gained. You've got some key characters in there that aren't particularly that annoying. You've got some bumbling policemen. You've got the angry mayor. You've got all the kind of stereotypical, you know, oh well, this guy's admitting to doing it, he must be him. And like, no, there's more killings going on. So very standard kind of tropes involved in this particular film. But yeah, I'd give it a go. I think it's on Amazon Prime if you want to watch it. It's very different. It's very different, but it's one I did really enjoy, and I got a lot out of it. And yeah, a lot of fun to be had. If you're into those kind of European slashery action movies, like it's not every film you see which has a speedboat chase through the canals of Amsterdam. And it's probably just worth watching for that, I'll be honest, because it is really good. But there's a lot of stuff to get out of it, a lot of stuff to enjoy. And yeah, and like I said, a lot of kind of dark humor as well, and just fun. It's just generally, I think most of the people watching it did enjoy it. Again, it was a weird and wacky one, but that's what people are here for. They're here for the weird and the wacky and the wonderful, which is exactly what they got. So, yeah, that has been day three. I'm just trying to think, is there anything else I've done there? Not particularly. You know, I got chatting to a few people are working there, and I made them aware that I've released a podcast so they can share it and do what they want with it. They're very busy this weekend, obviously, so I'm not expecting them to be like, oh, thank you, you know, or anything like that, or like, you know, start talking to me for any long length of time, because there's basically not enough time between the screenings to do that. So I'm just having very quick kind of one-off conversations. I do hope if I come next year, which I think almost certainly will, I'm like 98% sure I more than likely will. And again, I might get the full weekend ticket and I might get the early bird. But yeah, I couldn't have wanted anything more. I didn't expect any of these special introductions. I didn't mind if they didn't have them. It would have been nice, and we got them. So yeah, brilliant. It's been a wonderful weekend. So I'm going to sign off now. I'm going to edit this and get this out a little later in the week. I'm not going to do it now again because I've been struggling with the internet and other stuff. It's just been really hard to record, edit, and get it up before any of the film starts today. So I'm gonna get all my shit together and I'm gonna rock over there now and enjoy. But you know what to do. You guys are already with me, you're already subscribed, you're already doing stuff. But thank you very much again. Sorry that I left you off the list earlier, Math, off several podcasts. So I do apologize for that. I do appreciate you doing stuff. I'm sure there's a big backlog of things for you to get through you haven't gone through already. And also, and everybody else who hasn't, you know, already partaken in some of the stuff, there's a shit ton there. I should be giving you a shit ton more, but this is, I hope this kind of makes up for the lack of stuff recently. So thank you again. Please keep giving if you can. If you can't, I understand. Just send me a message if you want, or don't, just drop out. Again, money, I have a job, I'm okay, I'll do all right, but yeah, not to worry. But yeah, absolutely check out any of the introductions on their YouTube channel as well, if you feel like you'd like to watch those. I've put them in the Discord group if you're in that. If not, just go over to their YouTube channel, and I think you will enjoy that and get something out of it. Because I know I did. So something really special this film festival is. So I recommend highly the film festival in general. Check it out. Brilliant people, brilliant vibe, brilliant selection of films. Just brilliance all around. Fantastic Forbidden Worlds Film Festival. All right, guys, I will see you tomorrow for another podcast. Bye.